Lord Christ, in your word you tell us of how you took the children into your arms. You put your hands on them and you blessed them. Lord, please take our precious covenant children, from the newborns to those entering adulthood, into your arms. We ask that each one would know and trust in your great salvation and grace, that they would not know a day apart from you, and that they would grow to be mighty men and women of God, extending your kingdom throughout their lives. Bless Helen and all those in our children's ministry that love and teach these youngest hearts. Bless our youth and those adults who are loving and discipling them. Please grow and develop our youth ministry and bring many families with junior and senior high youth to join us and be preparing hearts for the senior high retreat April 16th. We praise you, Lord, and thank you for the birth of Donald to Rebecca and Will Flannery. Please continue to heal and care for Rebecca and give strength to Will. And thank you for the marriage of Renee Ledbetter and Jonathan Arrowwood yesterday. Lord, we confess that even as adults, we long to be like the children you took into your arms and held and blessed. Lord, in the midst of hurry and stress and fear and sin, teach us to find our peace and joy and rest in you, in your awesome and loving arms. Teach us to receive the kingdom of God like little children. We lift those among us who are struggling, those with physical pain, including Jan Aiken, who has been hospitalized, and also those with emotional pain and anger. We pray for those whose hearts are far from you. Lord, lead them, often us, to conviction and repentance and the joy of your salvation. And now, Lord, please fill Leo with your spirit, that every word he speaks would unfold your truth to us and open our hearts, that we would really hear and believe and obey your truth in joyful thanksgiving. Amen.
Would you please open your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark in your New Testament, chapter 10, Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. This is God's word. Let me begin by telling you a story about two little boys who were always causing trouble in the town in which they lived. The parents were just at a loss as to what to do, and so when this new minister came to town, they thought, aha, we have the answer. We're going to sig the new minister on him. And so they talked to him about it. The minister said, okay, but just one at a time. And so Billy was first. The minister walked into the room, slammed the door, went over to Billy and said, "Where is God?" And Billy just stared in disbelief at the floor. And the minister paced a little bit more and then said in a much louder voice, "Where is God?" And Billy was pretty terrified by this point in time. And after a few more minutes, the minister bellowed, "Where is God?" And Billy stood up, screamed, and ran out of the room, ran down the street, into his house, upstairs, into his bedroom, slammed the door, and then leaned against the door. His other brother was in there. And he said, "What in the world is wrong, Billy?" And he said, "You wouldn't believe this. That God is lost, and they're blaming it on us." I don't think that parents, as parents, nor as a church, we have done all we could do to help our children to see Jesus, to come to understand the presence of God and connect that with the nature of their hearts and their behavior in life. We've got a long way to go toward that end, and I think this passage is of great help to us. This week was a very black and dismal week, I think, when it comes to looking at the landscape of our nation with respect to children. A couple of more school shootings in the last 10 days, then coupled with the situation in St. Louis. Did you hear about the little boy that was mauled to death, killed by a pack of dogs? Mother never seeming to care enough or wake up enough to wondering where her son was until the next morning. Neighbors hearing what was going on, but no one responding. Tragic. And at the risk of trivializing something so horrendous, to me it is a picture, a fitting picture, of what's happening in our country with our children. Not physically, I mean that's actually a pretty rare event, thankfully, but spiritually. Deep in the soul of our children, we as a nation have let our children go and let the pack of wild dogs come and hunt them down. And we hear the cries, but we don't seem to do much about it. Oh, we might come back and scream in their face, "Where is God?" But in terms of really engaging the child, creating a culture within our homes and even within our churches, we have got a lot to learn. The key question, of course, is what does Jesus think about this? What does Jesus think about children? Because that's the question we ought to be asking about every area of our lives, isn't it? Every single area of our lives, we ought to be asking daily, what does Jesus think about my job? What does Jesus think about my marriage? What does Jesus think about my children? Interestingly, it's those three topics that are handled in this section of the Gospel of Mark. Last week, we looked at marriage and divorce. And I would encourage you, if you're a regular attender or member, and I'll rarely do this because it sounds so self-serving, but I want you to get the tape of that sermon if you are not here, because we talked about some very important things for us as a church family. We're going to do the same today with respect to our view of children. And then next week we'll look at, you could call it what Jesus thinks about our job, or it might be what Jesus thinks about money or our possessions or our bent in life, any of those things. It all comes in to next week. And they form a series of three stories that really help us to focus on critical areas in our life. Today, children. There's two things I want you to notice. First of all, the attitude that Jesus thinks we ought to have towards children, individually and as a church. And then secondly, the actions that we ought to have toward our children, again, individually and as a church. So open your Bible if you have one. I'm sorry that it's not printed in your order of worship today, the passage that is. But we're going to be looking at these few verses from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. A very familiar passage to people who've been around the Bible a little while. And we want to just sort of glean out of them these attitudes and actions that Jesus would have us emulate. First of all, the attitude. And the attitude is really this, that it's very, very good for our children to be in the presence of Jesus. Well, that seems so obvious, but that's the main point here, I think. It's very good for children to be in the presence of Jesus. Why? Well, there's two reasons. First of all, because blessing is found in the presence of Jesus. You see in this passage that people are bringing their children to Jesus. The disciples get in the way for their own reasons, seeming that it's not important enough for Jesus' time and attention. And Jesus is indignant about this, says, "Let the little children come to me." And then it says in verse 16 that he takes them in his arms, puts his hands on them, and blesses them. It's very good for children to be in the presence of Jesus because they receive blessing there. Now, what is blessing? I mean, it's a word that we use in such a cavalier way today in our culture. You might hear a very stirring sermon here at Christ the King. You say, "I was really blessed by that." Now, you could mean by that that it was just a neat talk. You were encouraged by it. Or you could mean that you were really transformed, that God used it as a vehicle through which you were changed. And it's more in that latter sense that the Bible refers to the concept of blessing. It goes way back to the Old Testament. And you think, for instance, of when the nation of Israel was wandering in the wilderness and God instructed Aaron, who is the brother of Moses, as to how they should, as priests, bless the nation of Israel. He said, tell Aaron, this is Numbers chapter 6, verse 23, and his sons, this is how you're to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. So they will put My name on the Israelites and I will bless them. Two things I want you to see there. The presence of God comes with blessing. See, the face of God is right there in their presence. And the name of God, they're no longer aliens. They're no longer just numbers out there. But they're part of God's household, His very name, which is one of the concepts that we find in baptism when we say the name of the child and they are baptized. It's, in a sense, a naming ceremony. It also has the idea, of course, that all of the blessings, all of the riches that are found in God's covenants that He had been laying out, really from Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, where it said that the seed of the serpent would crush the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. That begins the blossoming of God's covenant throughout the Scriptures. And all of the many blessings there come to us by being in the presence of Jesus. Well, you just think of the way Jesus interacted with children in the Gospel of Mark. I mean, just so far in the Gospel of Mark, we've seen in chapter 5 the healing of the synagogue ruler's daughter, Jairus. In chapter 7, the healing, really bringing back to life of the daughter of a Gentile woman, a Syrophoenician woman. And then the healing of the boy with an evil spirit in chapter 9, just previous to this section. Physical blessings come in the presence of Jesus. But of course, those physical blessings there to give us, we who think in visual forms and pictures, to give us pictures of the type of inner healing, the radical healing that comes when we're in the presence of Jesus. It's good for children to be in the presence of Jesus because they receive blessing there. Don't keep them away. Bring them. Do all you can to get them into His presence. It's also good that that children would be in the presence of Jesus because He says there that they belong to the kingdom. Notice, He says, do not hinder them. Let them come to Me. Why? Because, verse 14, the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. The language there is very tight. Jesus is not saying, now, find some example with little children and then apply it to adults who can profess faith because those are the ones that are part of the kingdom. All right, now, it includes that, but it's more than that. He's saying these who are being brought to Me are citizens of the kingdom. Who brings their children to Jesus? Well, it's people that trust in Jesus, that Jesus can do something good. Now, in Jewish culture, people would bring their children to the head of the synagogue, maybe to a priest, for them to pray for them and bless them. But you see in the Gospel of Mark, it's not just the Jews. It's people like the Syrophoenician woman that were bringing their child, who was very needy, to Jesus for a blessing. And He healed them physically. And so Jesus also, for those adults who have confidence in Jesus' ability to bring blessing and healing and change to their child's life, Jesus said, of such as those is the kingdom of God. And then He applies it to adults. Notice what He says. He says, I tell you the truth, verse 15, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. You say, well, it probably was that the children that came were old enough to be able to believe and profess faith in Christ and articulate that. And they become then an example of simplistic faith, of being simple and innocent. And that's what adults should emulate. But do you know that the picture here is of little children? In fact, Luke, in his account, he won't let us wiggle out of this. He actually uses the word for infant in this same account. So it's not that the child did anything. You see, it's actually just the opposite. What do children, infants, do in order to gain entrance into God's kingdom? They don't do anything. Little infants can't do anything. They don't bring anything to the table. They completely are receptive. They are recipients of everything at that point in their life. They have nothing to bring and everything to receive. A child can do nothing to merit entry into God's kingdom. It's not that the Scriptures are making a theological statement about the innocence of children. You see, this passage isn't even addressing that point, because the Bible elsewhere says very clearly all human beings are sinful and separated from God naturally. David even cried out that he was born in iniquity. So that's not the point. The point is that God is pleased to pour out His blessings upon those who bring nothing to the table. And I think it's very interesting that Jesus would make this statement right before He talks about the rich young man in the next passage. Because what was the rich young man trying to do? Remember, he came to Jesus and said, "Teacher, what must I what? Do to inherit eternal life?" What must I do? And of course, Jesus goes on to show him that it's not about what you and I do. He says, "You will keep the commandments." And the young man says, "Well, I've kept all the commandments since I was a little boy." And then Jesus nails him, and we'll talk about this next week further, in the one area where it was clear that he did not keep the commandments. Because it's not about what you and I do. The disciples cried out, "Well, Jesus, then who can be saved?" And Jesus said, what? He said, "With man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." That's a beautiful principle that Jesus, I think, was saying here in an enigmatic statement about children. Because the children can't do anything. But with God, it's completely possible, even to those who can't do a thing, to say the kingdom is yours. I recognize there's other questions attending that you have in your mind. I'd love to talk to you about it personally. We don't have time to go into it at length now. Those are the attitudes that we are to have individually and as a church toward children. We need to get them into the presence of God, into the presence of Jesus, because it is good. There will be healing. And because they belong to it. They're not on the outside. But the primary view we have in Scripture is children are included in God's kingdom. Now, what are the actions that we should show forth as parents and as a church? Well, we should do everything possible that we can to get our children into the presence of Jesus. Everything possible. Now, where is the presence of Jesus known? Well, we talk about things like the means of grace. What we mean by that are the Bible. But sometimes we think as parents, you know, if I can just cram the Bible in, I will curb the behavior of my children enough so they won't go do drugs. All right? That's really not the point. The point is our children and their behavior will be curbed to the degree to which Jesus occupies their heart. To the degree to which they love Jesus with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Therefore, the Bible becomes perhaps the principal vehicle through which our children come to see and know and love Jesus. But there's also prayer, and that's why, parents, you should be praying with and for your children every day and leading them to the Scriptures. But what I want to focus on for just a second is the context in which that should happen. Yes, it should happen in individual relationships you have with your children and in your homes, in your families as a whole. But again, the Scriptures show forth the model of radical community. That is, the Scripture and prayer and the sacraments become the principal vehicles through which we as the body of Christ see Jesus. And then we become the presence of Jesus in the world. Did you hear me? the church, not just individual Christians, the church, the visible church, becomes the visible expression of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in the world. If you want your children to be in the presence of Jesus, they need to be in church. I'm not saying bring them to church, because that'll take care of everything. The church in miniature is in your home. But they must be brought into the gathered community. That's why Jesus said, where two or more are gathered together, there I am in the midst. There is a special, there's a unique way in which Jesus is present when you and I gather together on Sunday mornings, particularly as we celebrate the sacraments together. The word is preached. Jesus is with us, and that is the most important thing in our children's life. How important is this? Well, Jesus, it says, was indignant at the disciples for hindering the children from coming. It's the only time that word is used in reference to Jesus. It's a very, very strong word. Jesus was ticked off. Jesus was very angry with the disciples. And he rebuked them for their behavior. Now, they thought they were doing a good thing, but you see, they had missed it too. They thought you had to have a certain resume to come into Jesus' presence. It all went back to what you do for the disciples. But Jesus said, no, you're missing the entire boat. Let them come into me. They need me. They need blessing. And so you and I must ask the question, how is it that we are hindering our children from being in the presence of Jesus? These are tough questions that you and I need to ask ourselves in our homes, in our relationships with our children. But I want to suggest most especially with regard to the body of Christ, how is it that you are hindering your children from full exposure to Jesus? I don't think it's trivializing it to say that our children are outside and the dogs are prowling around. And our temptation is to pretend, everything's okay. They'll come home. The neighbors will take care of them. We must bring them into the presence of our Lord Christ, where there is protection, where there is safety, where there is healing, where there is renewal and transformation. I think that it's interesting in the Jewish custom of blessing, where people would bring their children to the priests or scribes for blessing. You know when they did it? They did it on the eve of the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement, of course, was the one day of the year where the nation of Israel gathered together in great repentance in view of their need for God to take away their sin. And only He could do it, the sacrificial Lamb of God. Again, foreshadowing the great Day of Atonement when Jesus Christ would spread out His arms on the cross of Calvary. Where do you and I need to take ourselves and our children? We need to take them to Jesus for blessing. But not in just some sweet way, but in a painful way. Take them to the cross. That our children, like you and I, are weak. We need a Lamb of God who takes away all the sins, every single sin of our life, past, present, and future. Take our children to them that they might know blessing and healing in Christ. Let's pray. Our Lord, we need the cross of Calvary. We need our Savior. We need His grace, His love, His mercy. And we do pray that You would make us into a church that not only recognizes the attitude that we should have, that it's good to be in the presence of Jesus, but we take action, we take steps. We do not stay away regularly from church, even for reasons that might otherwise be good. But we are here regularly, Lord, Sunday in and Sunday out, because our children, and indeed our own hearts, need to be in the presence of our Lord. Help us, we pray. Amen.